Cancer Research UK podcast. Welcome to the July Cancer Research UK podcast with me, Dr. Kat Arney. In this month's podcast, we find out how researchers in Edinburgh are looking for new ways to relieve pain for people with cancer to improve their quality of life. Coming up later, we'll be finding out how a new initiative is aiming to bring together crack teams of scientists to solve some of the most challenging problems in cancer.
It means that we take the brightest looking stars and the best looking discoveries from our cancer research base. It means that we take those faster to the clinic than we've ever been able to do before.
But first, here's the news with Jo Peake.
Thanks, Kat. Scientists at the Institute of Cancer Research are running a large-scale clinical trial for men with prostate cancer. Led by Dr. Chris Parker, the Cancer Research UK-funded trial is recruiting around 4,000 men from the UK and internationally. Here's Dr. Parker to explain more about the trial.
The RADICALS trial attempts to define the best treatment for men who have had an operation to remove their prostate for prostate cancer. So the standard approach is a radical prostatectomy. That's an operation to remove the whole prostate. And what we don't know is whether these men should have additional treatment. So if, for example, you take women with breast cancer, when they have surgery to remove the cancer, they routinely have that followed by radiotherapy and by hormone therapy and sometimes by other treatments too. But in the case of prostate cancer, we don't know whether there's any value in giving additional treatment, like radiotherapy or hormone therapy, after surgery. I would like all men who are due to have an operation to remove their prostate for prostate cancer to be aware of the RADICALS trial. It's open in around 50 centres throughout the UK, so no matter where a man is having his surgery, he could enter the RADICALS trial if he wishes to do so.
Cancer Research UK is funding a new national clinical trial called POET, finding out whether a contraceptive coil called Mirena can prevent womb cancer in women with an inherited predisposition to the disease. Lynch syndrome is due to an inherited fault in the HNPCC gene, and women with the condition have a 60% chance of developing womb cancer, much higher than the 2% risk in the general population. Here's Professor Shirley Hodgson, who's leading the study, talking about her hopes for the trial and the importance of her work.
Well, I think it's going to be a very helpful option to women with Lynch syndrome because they may well feel that they're frightened of the risks of endometrial cancer, but that they don't want to have their uterus removed, you know, perhaps if they're fairly young still and they want to still consider having babies maybe later. And so it may be a very good option, say, to have a Mirena for 5 years and then say, I'll have my babies after that. You know, they just may be more comfortable with not having the surgery as well. This is very much on the agenda of Cancer Research UK to reduce the risks of cancer developing. And, you know, in Lynch syndrome, the risks are pretty high. I think it is a really important way of trying to reduce these risks.
And finally, a study published in the British Journal of Cancer has shown that the UK is punching above its weight when it comes to cancer research. The authors looked at all the research that feeds into 43 of the clinical guidelines that doctors use to treat cancer patients and found that research papers from the UK are cited 3 times more often than might be expected. And the study also revealed that Cancer Research UK supported over 1/3 of the clinical trials that were used as evidence for treatment guidelines. This highlights the impact of the work that's funded by the charity and demonstrates the importance of our life-saving research. That's all the news for now. Back to you, Kat.
Thanks, Jo. And if you want to find out more about these stories or get the latest from the charity's scientists and researchers around the world, then go and have a look at our news and resources website. Cancer Research UK is assembling crack teams of scientists drawn from the UK and around the world to tackle some of the most challenging problems in cancer science. To find out more about the background to the initiative, I spoke to Simon Yulton from Cancer Research Technology, the charity's wholly owned technology transfer company.
It was about 3 years ago, the first ideas came about from a management team session, and I was appointed to someone to look into one of these early ideas, and it escalated from there. So my role has been very much to coordinate a team initially of people to see if we could project this idea, and from there on in choose the science and the business model that we've now elected to use, which is to bind five individual researchers from different institutes initially around the UK, each tasked with a particular problem that we pose them, and then bind them together in the form of a limited company for a two-year grant.
So far, the charity have identified three key areas of science in which to set up these consortia. The first group, looking at the issue of cell senescence, is led by Professor Nicole Keith from the Beetson Institute for Cancer Research in Glasgow. I asked him to explain more about this phenomenon and how it's linked to cancer.
We've known about cell senescence for a number of years, and this is something that in normal cells gives a limit to the number of times a cell divides. So it's the brakes on cell growth, and that's a very good thing to have in normal cells. And this point at which cells stop growing is called cell senescence. And there are lots of ways this can happen. One is when the cells get too old, for example, and they stop growing. Now, one of the major hallmarks of cancer is that they actually bypass this senescence barrier. So senescence is a very, very powerful tumour suppression mechanism, a natural one. It stops you getting cancer. So in fact, when cancers break through this barrier, it's bad news for the cells. So cell senescence is this block which is overcome during the cancer process and the cells become immortal.
But what's so new about this way of working? I asked Keith Blundy, Chief Executive of Cancer Research Technology, to explain.
Well, the idea is here that rather than allowing research teams to evolve organically by their own impetus, we've picked specialist crack teams who have particular functional capabilities who we think, by our own peer review and assessment at Cancer Research Technology, working on behalf of CRUK, will form a great new team to solve these problems. And we've brought them together with CRUK funding into a new programme.
It's important to stress that although Cancer Research UK works with the pharmaceutical industry, we are an independent charity. Simon Yulton again.
None of this Cancer Research UK funding goes directly to the pharmaceutical industry, so we're not funding the pharmaceutical industry at all. So we need the pharmaceutical industry, and we're not funding them, but they also are funding our programme. So I am very, very optimistic that once we present to them the details of our collaborative initiatives, this first one and the subsequent two, they will also contribute hard cash. So we're funding this programme to the tune of £500,000. I'm looking for a pharmaceutical partner who is also prepared to finance up to £500,000 themselves to accelerate the programme so we can do even better, faster.
And finally, what does this all mean for people with cancer?
It means that we take the brightest looking stars and the best looking discoveries from our cancer research base. It means that we take those faster to the clinic than we've ever been able to do before. It means that once we identify them, we bolster them with what we feel are additional experts from around the world. So give them the best opportunity they can have of getting to the clinic. And, you know, it's a hard task to get anything to the clinic, so it needs every opportunity it can get.
Managing pain is a crucial part of any treatment for people living with cancer. Two of the major challenges are neuropathic pain, that's pain caused by nerves, and bone pain, both of which can be difficult to manage with the drugs we currently have available. Mary Fallon, Professor of Palliative Medicine at the Edinburgh Cancer Research Centre, is looking at new ways to effectively measure and manage cancer pain with the aim of improving the quality of life for people living with the disease. Our reporter Anna Lacey went to meet Professor Fallon in Edinburgh and started by asking her how we currently measure pain.
We often say to patients, well, on a scale of 0 to 10, if 0 is no pain at all and 10 is the worst pain imaginable, where would you rate your pain? And then we try to ask the patient, well, what has been your worst pain in the last 24 hours? And classically with, for example, metastatic bone pain, a patient may have a background pain of as little as 1 or 2 out of 10, but when the patient moves, the pain may actually escalate to 9 or even 10 out of 10. And although it escalates up to 9 or 10 out of 10 transiently, it can be very debilitating for the patient, impact enormously on what they're able to do and their general quality of life. So the worst pain score is a very important question.
But the problem in many busy hospitals is that pain isn't routinely assessed. So to make sure it's given the attention it deserves, Mari and her team have developed a system called EPAT, which stands for the Edinburgh Pain Assessment Tool.
The idea is that the patient is asked about their pain whenever they have their blood pressure and pulse and temperature taken. It uses a scale of 0 to 10 and it's colour-coded, ranging from green through to amber through to red, red being if you've got moderate to severe pain. And if the patient falls in the amber or red level of the scale, they then go on to step two, which guides the nurse to come to decisions about the best treatment along with appropriate discussion with medical staff.
And how have people responded to this new system?
Everyone is very enthusiastic, and I think they're very enthusiastic because they see that this is a simple concept, but it's actually dealing with a real need. We know that about 50% of patients with cancer in hospital have uncontrolled pain, and we know that the majority of that pain should be able to be controlled reasonably easily using the simple steps that we have outlined.
After pain has been measured, the next step is to find the best way to treat it. Radiotherapy is often used to relieve bone pain, but it doesn't work for everyone. So Mari, with funding from Cancer Research UK, is running a clinical trial to see if a drug called pregabalin can improve radiotherapy's effects.
This is a study looking at metastatic bone pain, so it's cancer of any primary site that's spread to bone. And it's the commonest cause of pain from metastasis. And the problem with bone pain is that it's particularly troublesome when the patient moves, or the pain can suddenly escalate when the patient's sitting at rest.
So how is the trial being conducted? What are you testing? How many people?
Yeah. There are 230 patients included in the study. They're all receiving palliative radiotherapy for their metastatic bone pain. And we know that 25% of patients will get complete pain relief with palliative radiotherapy. But that leaves a huge number of patients who don't get complete relief or partial relief. So at the time of radiotherapy, we're randomising patients to either receive pregabalin or current best standard care. And at the end of the study, which lasts for 4 weeks, the primary outcome will be, have the patients in the pregabalin group got a better pain control, and have they managed to consume less morphine or remain in at least a stable dose?
And what's special about pregabalin in improving pain management in bone cancer?
The beauty of pregabalin, if it actually works, is the option to increase the pain-relieving effects of radiotherapy. Use pregabalin instead of palliative radiotherapy in those patients that couldn't have radiotherapy for a whole variety of reasons. And we would be able to increase treatment choices dramatically for patients where with malignant bone pain it is somewhat limited.
Another drug that is also potentially showing promise is ketamine, which some people may have heard of as being a clubber's drug. How are you going to try and use it in pain management?
Well, we know from our early work that in small doses it can be an excellent pain-relieving drug, particularly for nerve pain, neuropathic pain, but also some types of inflammatory pain. It has been abused and it is a drug of abuse, but interestingly, all of these drugs of abuse, when they're actually used in pain control, behave in quite a different way. So the CRUK-funded study is looking at cancer-related pain that's all neuropathic. That means it's nerve pain. and they're going to be randomised to either receiving ketamine or receiving a placebo drug. And at the end, what we would love to find, and our hypothesis is that the ketamine group will in fact have better pain control, and we suspect that they'll probably need less morphine to control their pain.
For both of these studies, the team is collecting information on the exact characteristics of each person's pain and how they respond to different drugs. In future, this will hopefully help doctors match the right pain relief to the right person.
The benefit of having this added information is that not only will we know that these drugs are useful in X percentage of patients, but what we hope to be able to do is match up patient characteristics with the different treatments and say, well, if you have the following characteristics, this is the drug that is perhaps best for your pain.
Well, we've reached the end once more, so I do hope you've enjoyed this month's podcast. Don't forget that your feedback's vital in helping us to improve the show, so please email us at podcast@cancer.org.uk. And I'll be back next month with all the latest news from Cancer Research UK. So until then, goodbye.